From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Monday morning edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio this morning. We'll talk a little Ole Miss baseball. The Rebels knocked off Arkansas in a series over the weekend, matching top five teams. Actually, best I could find, the first ever top five series between two teams at Swayze Field in Ole Miss history. So Ole Miss wins the back end of the series. They've already done that three times this season, to Long Beach, Tennessee, and Arkansas. They have won three straight game threes to clinch series as well. As the polls are rolling out this morning, Ole Miss number three in a couple of them, Perfect Game, Baseball America. I would assume that will follow suit with D1 Baseball as well. So we'll talk a little about that. NCAA Championship game is tonight. Spring football winding down to Saturday's Grove Bowl as well. So that's what's on tap for today's show. It's brought to you by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. Remember, a few days away, Saturday, Chad Kelly will be in town. His first signing as a Denver Bronco will be at the Oxford Exxon 9:30 to 11 Saturday morning prior to the Grove Bowl. And if you're not interested in that, I don't know why you wouldn't. Chad, nice guy. Come talk to him. $5 to the Magnolia Speech School for anyone that walks in. So if nothing else, walk in, raise some money for a great cause there with Critical and the Oxford Exxon. We're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi. The number is 662-257-1900. You call that number. You ask for Corey Clark. You tell Corey what new Ford you are looking for, and he will send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. There's no haggling. It's right to the bottom line. There's none of that. Everybody trying to get one over on everyone. He gets right to the bottom line. It makes it easy for him, and then it's up to you. You can make it as complicated or easy for yourself as you'd like. You can certainly shop it around, try to get a better quote, or you can go ahead and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners to this podcast, self-included, and that's take the hassle out of the car buying experience. It's that simple, and we'll make it even better at the end of your deal. Tell Corey, hey, I heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention any of our family of podcasts. It's $500 off the bottom line from Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900.
Neil's 10 thoughts up on the site, as well as a lot of baseball coverage and more. It's a good time to check out rebelgrove.com. Russell's had some recruiting over the weekend, a good bit of recruiting as it is going on as well. Had a big junior day, visit day, whatever it was. On Saturday, I guess. My days are still mixed up. I never know the day of the week.
But, came in some on Friday, some on Saturday.
Was that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some stayed a day and a half or whatever.
Okay.
But it was Friday and Saturday.
Okay. I would do this a couple times a year. Happy anniversary to us. This is 8 years since the first podcast, then known as the RebelGrove.com podcast back in the day. I tried to pull some audio from that initial groundbreaking performance, but I could not do that. The RSS feeds have changed a little in 8 years, and TalkShoe, as you remember, when we would hit the button, it would do the little dinging thing and then say TalkShoe recorded live.
Are they still in business?
Well, I think they're still in business. I would be scared to death to be using them these days, but they I could make our last show on TalkShoe worked. But I couldn't make the first one work. So April 2nd, 2010 is when we debuted. It was weekly for a while. We went daily in 2012. We took the summer off from podcasts in 2012.
Is that right?
And then picked it up daily September the 4th or 5th with basically the Hugh Freeze era.
Oh, I did not remember that.
So that was when we started going daily. Then Ben and Critical graciously jumped aboard, and here we are. So thanks to all of you. In my head, I never realized it was 8 years. I didn't have it being that long ago in my head. So
no, I didn't think that either, because I've only been here 10 years.
Yeah. No, we were, April 2nd, 2010.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's remarkable.
The first one, we did what we love to do, which is discuss spring football on April 2nd.
Yeah.
And then the next one, April the 9th, we had two guests. I'll buy you a steak dinner. I'll give you five guesses, and I'll give you a steak dinner if you can guess one of the two guests. So I'll give you three guesses, because actually it's a little easier than five. I'll give you three guesses. You name one of the two, I'll give you a steak dinner.
We had guests on
our second ever show.
And what was the date?
We had two guests. April 9th, 2010.
2010. Two guests.
I don't think we've talked about this. I don't think I've told you this answer.
So it would have been the middle of baseball season. Spring football would probably still be going. Basketball would have been over. It's right around the time of the Masters. God, I have no idea.
Okay. Maybe I remember this mostly because at the time I knew very little about editing or getting someone on the phone, and I was petrified about losing them at the moment.
Okay.
The harder one that no one would have gotten is we talked to Ole Miss baseball signing at the time, Casey Mulholland.
Okay.
We spoke about with Jeffrey on Friday.
I would have guessed Terry Mulholland before I guessed Casey Mulholland.
The other one that I thought you might get because he was our first guest and you know him very well. You've had him on a good bit since then. Our first ever guest was Eric Edholm of Pro Football Weekly at the time.
Oh, I would not have guessed that, but yes. Eric's good people.
I don't think the call dropped. I think it was successful, but those were the first two.
I would not have guessed Eric Edholm.
Our third guest was David Cloninger, that covers South Carolina baseball for some different people. It was with Rivals.com at the time.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I've got to run through some of the early episodes, but we have we've changed. We've become much more high tech over the time, thanks to Jeffrey.
Yes.
And here we are. So appreciate it.
Yeah, those of you who like to criticize Jeffrey, the podcast is not where it is today, in all likelihood, without the presence of Jeffrey Wright there for a while. Just facts. Sometimes it is what it is. He kicked it along and in a good way. And we've expanded the brand and people. I get people that ask. I'm going to be full honesty here. I get people that ask. Sometimes they ask two questions. Why do y'all do so many podcasts? Well, money.
Like different podcasts.
Different podcasts. Yeah, yeah. Why do y'all do different podcasts? Why not do all of those podcasts in one podcast?
Meaning stay just with the Oxford Exxon podcast for all shows.
Right.
Okay, gotcha.
Number one, that would be one mammoth of a podcast every morning. Number two, we created revenue streams for ourselves. I can't speak for Chase on this. I'll be very honest. I am absolutely fascinated by The Athletic. I'm blown away. I referenced it in 10 Thoughts. I promise I'm getting back to podcast on this. But in 10 Thoughts, I referenced Jason Stark's one of my favorite writers.
Yeah.
He's a really good person. I've met him. He's very, very, very good at what he does. And he's one of those people in Major League Baseball who can basically get anyone on the phone. He's Adrian Wojnarowski and of Major League Baseball. And he sat down with Joe Maddon and at some point told him in the middle of what he was working on, hey, I'm going to The Athletic. And Joe Maddon, who, if, in case you don't know, the Cubs manager, who's kind of one of these deep-thinking type people, was like, that's great. I love what you guys are doing. I think it's the future. And I hope Joe Madden's right. I really do. I hope he's right. Because what The Athletic does is really good journalism. And it's one of the but I can tell you that, getting back to my point, had we never launched the podcast and created the revenue streams for ourselves that we have via the podcast, I could not have stayed here. I could not, on the rebelgrove.com, rivals.com salary, probably I would have had to go do something else. I would have had to explore other options, because it is very hard to grow a subscription-based model. Now, I'm being really honest. I'm probably going to make some people mad. I suspect The Athletic is more committed to their firewall than Rivals.com has really been since being purchased by Yahoo, where Rivals makes money off subscriptions, Yahoo makes money off clicks. And so you have this odd marriage that I'm not ever really sure who's in control of the marriage. I suspect The Athletic, at this point in its infancy, doesn't have that obstacle in front of it.
No, it's anti-clickbait. I mean, their thing is, hey, no ads for subscribers right. on the site, clean, white space, yeah. newspaper principles in a website.
And very deep dive journalism, which it's excellent. And I, as someone
who... It's Grantland with more business sense.
It is. It's Grantland with more business, and with more people.
Yeah.
And they...
Actual markets.
Yeah. I think the difference is with Grantland, everything was national. And I don't know that that's the current model that works anymore. I don't know that national...
Journalism is regional. Journalism is Major League Baseball.
Yes. It's very regional. If you live in the Bay Area, you get deep dives on the Warriors. You get deep dives on the 49ers, the Raiders, the Giants, the A's. You get that kind of stuff. And so it's really, if you live in Chicago, and you don't even have to get the Sun-Times anymore. You don't have to get the Tribune anymore. You can get The Athletic, and you can keep up with the Cubs and the Bulls. And I mean, Darnell Mayberry covers the Bulls for The Athletic. He does a great job. If you're a Bulls fan, or if you're interested in the Bulls, for $4.95 a month, man, you get a lot. Now, you get all the other stuff, too. They're a fascinating experiment. It must be working, or there is a ton of capital in it, because they're paying really good writers to leave.
And a lot of writers.
And they're paying the best ones to leave their current jobs and go to The Athletic. I'm cheering for them. I want it to work. I want it to work bad. But people say, why did you do what you did with, like, you know, the beer garden was Jeffrey's idea. I kept it going after Jeffrey left because I said, I need on my resume something that shows that, hey, if something happened and it all went to hell in a handbasket, that I could say I do have working knowledge of other things besides college football. And so it's one of those things that, if I'm totally honest, I kind of did it for myself, and it's worked. To a degree, it's not nearly as successful as this podcast. The recruiting podcast is because sometimes you can – recruiting, you guys know this. Recruiting is a – not fringe, that's not the word I'm looking for. It's not even a niche, but there's a certain element of every fan base that is into recruiting 365, 24/7. And it's not as big as you might think it is. There's now the section of the fan base that gets really into recruiting on the last 45 days. Well, that's huge. Mm-hmm. But the section of the fan base, you know this, that really gets into like junior days and stuff.
Minutia.
It's much smaller than you probably think. We have the analytics to kind of back that up. It's
an outlet for that. Number two, it lets Russell get known by people. Yes. Lets him show his knowledge base to subscribers and potential subscribers. Because, I mean, look, this has been a marketing tool, too. And
for Billy's Pecans, it was great. I mean, yeah. I offered that up a year ago, and I said, hey, if anybody wants to jump in, and they jumped in, and it's helped them. It's been good for them. They've expanded their brand through us. So it's cool. You know, people ask why you do those things. That's sort of why. But, you know, it's been – this podcast in particular is the one that has been such a success, and I'm always kind of struck by the number of people who make this a part of their kind of everyday deal. I've joked about it with someone I was having a meeting with the other day, you know who I'm referencing. I said, we kind of were doing podcasts before podcasts were cool. Podcasts weren't cool 7-8 years ago.
I think you missed radio. And in my head, I thought, Because look, I mean, we're being really honest here. I kind of talked through the origins of this a little bit. I mean, we've told this story 5, 6, 7 times probably over the air. This started because we had really long conversations every morning. I'm talking 45 minutes, an hour. I mean, about anything, whatever. Neil was taking kids to school or walking the dog or whatever he was doing.
I'd take kids to school and then I would drive to the gym.
Yeah, so it's like a 45-minute conversation in the morning. If I said, you know, some of this stuff's kind of funny. It's hypotheticals. It's what if. Let's just see what happens. I think you missed radio, so it gave you an outlet for that. And in my head, I actually took it on more of a business sense because I think Neil would agree with this. At this point in his head, and then to a certain degree true as well, I think your Q rating was much lower, if you will. I think the Ole Miss fan base had not accepted you quite as much as they have now at that point.
Oh, yeah. And when we started that two years in, if you had told me then that I would still be here, and this isn't negative, it's just a difference in people. I did not anticipate at all being here longer than 4 years.
Yeah. So I thought, you know, the guy everybody thinks he is probably not the guy he is, or he's not the guy he is. Let's put this out. Let me put some situations to get some knowledge out there, to get some personality out there, and then it just kind of took off. It started working. I mean, we were a little gimmicky for a while. We interviewed the Bull Rider that time. We had a few early partners come in with us, and then really it exploded with Ben when that happened. We got some. Probably some increased credibility even. And, yeah, I mean, we continue to grow. I mean, even now, as you mentioned, you know, every day someone will go, hey, I listen to whatever, and I go, huh, no kidding. Craziest thing. So, you know, and still I don't remember what I said the day before. So I go, you know, last Monday you said this about that. I'm talking 8.5 hours a week. I have no idea what I'm saying or not
That used to happen to me in radio all the times. So I knew that. I was more prepared for that part. When you do 15 hours of radio a week and people are like, you remember that Tuesday? I'm like, no, I do not remember that Tuesday. I absolutely do not. There's no chance. I'm not going to remember it. You'd get called into at WNSP, I'd get routinely sometimes – I was telling you the story about Tommy Prater. I won't go into the details. But I would get Tommy on the show, and Tommy and I have the maturity level combined of a 12-year-old. And we would sometimes, because Tommy likes racing, and I don't dislike racing, but I don't follow racing. And so we would get Tommy on, and maybe they had the Bristol race last week, and they were going to go to Martinsville or whatnot. And in large part because I had failed to prepare for the interview, and in other part because I knew, I think I understood the general auto racing fan, which was hit the big stuff and then tell me something funny. Let's not do deep dives on carburetors. That's not how you keep listeners in a metropolitan area. Hey, what's happening with Terry Lewandowski's carburetor?
Yeah.
That's.
Can you get into the nuances of the restrictor plate and how it affects Jimmy Johnson?
Click. You can almost hear the clicks to the country music station when you do that. We would sometimes, because Mark Martin was sponsored by Viagra, we would sometimes spend a lot of time on Mark Martin and his car, even though he might have finished 43rd the week before. It was always good when Mark Martin did not finish a race.
Did you ever have Mark Martin on the show?
Never did. Tried.
Did you really?
Yes. But I suspect
he had some idea of what you might deteriorate into during the interview.
When Mark Martin did not finish a race, we would discuss why Mark Martin did not finish. And I would get called in and say, do you remember this? I'm like, I really don't remember what I said. It was funny. I was trying to be funny, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I don't know where I was going. I remember that part of radio. So when people come up to me now and start up with, hey, I love the podcast, I'm like, thank you. And then do you remember? I always, before they even say what I ask, before they even get past remember, I'll say no. And then I'll let them finish, and I still think, I told you I will not remember. I could not tell you what we talked about Friday.
Really?
No way.
Even that limited.
I think it's just that deal. I mean, and I'm doing 3 more podcasts a week than you're doing.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't remember.
It's fair.
And we probably talked about We probably talked about the Thursday night baseball game. We probably previewed the Final Four. But if you ask me if I remember specifics of that, no, I don't.
You laughed at a couple of Jeffrey's jokes, and we moved on with our day.
See, we had Jeffrey on. Yeah. I had to think about it.
We had Jeffrey on Friday, not Thursday.
We talked about Jeffrey's trip and Burger King.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. See?
Give me some audio clues. I can go from there. But no, I mean, for us, it's been the best thing we ever did. It's insurance. It's revenue streams. I think it's expanded our brand in a lot of ways. And no, you were smart about that, because I did not believe it really could work. I did not believe in it for the longest time.
Well, because part of me goes, we've done it later, the technology would have been better to start with, but then part of me goes, man, I'm almost kind of glad podcasts weren't what they were now when we started, because we had such rough audio and such rough transitions during that to where it probably was not a very easy listen, but it wasn't prevalent enough nationwide for anybody to know the dang difference at the time, so it was just sort of was what it was, and
yeah.
They got some Ole Miss stuff. I mean, frankly, we're probably compared to the local yokel, you know, radio stuff, and it was probably all right compared to that. So,
well, at one point, one of the local yokel radio people tried to get us to do it.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I'm not going to give names, but when
That's right.
when we got down to the bottom line, there was no bottom line. And I'm like, I'm not doing anything for free.
Well, that was the weirdest deal. We're in this room, and this guy goes, yeah, I mean, you know, it'd be a really good opportunity for you guys to get some marketing. I'm going, we have more listeners than you do. Like, it was just, he came at us with this real superiority radio thing going, well, you know, you really could use us to broadcast you. It's like, no, I really don't.
No, you need us to help you.
Yeah. It's a weird, weird, weird interview or conversation or meeting or whatever it was that day. So
the book we could write about some of the things is, I mean, it would not have much. Why the people who would be interested in it would love it. Now, there aren't enough people who would be interested in it to justify the writing of the book, but it would be, if we kind of let it all out.
Sounds like another book lately, doesn't it?
Yeah. It does.
Anyway, bottom line, thanks to you guys, because, geez, yeah, it's been a bit of a road, but here we are 8 years later, again, April 2nd, 2010, so we're going to get to baseball in a second. Before we do that, I will tell you that it's getting close to summer. It's time to book those Disney vacations, and Brandon White at Keys to Dream Travel will help you out with that, because he's got a completely free service. He specializes in Disney World and Disney Cruise Line vacations, takes the stress out of planning, takes care of dining, fast pass reservations, transportation, anything else related to your vacation. He's an expert in getting you out of line and on to more rides no matter the crowds. Mention the podcast, you get a $25 Disney gift card. For booking a vacation, you can contact him again. Free, no obligation quotes at Brandon at Keys to Dream Travel, KEYS, or 901-634-8687.
The Grove Bowl is Saturday, so spring football will end on Saturday, and then everyone will sort of put their footballs away for a while. But it will be summer, and it will be fall before you know it, and it will be tailgating time, 7 South tailgating. Speaking of people who have been with us a long time, 7 South tailgating, Kyle Thornton and the gang there at 7 South has been a sponsor of ours, a partner of ours for a long time. 7 South offers full season SEC and individual game packages that suit your specific tailgating needs. If you have your own equipment, they'll set it up for you just the way you like it. If you want to rent all of the equipment from 7 South, they have tents, tables, chairs, coolers. It's available in team and neutral colors. Whatever you're doing, if it's a business tailgate, they can handle that. If it's just a hardcore Ole Miss fan tailgate, they can handle that as well. They can accommodate the smallest and the largest needs that you have. Tents, tables, chairs, coolers, TVs, satellites, generators, sound systems, lighting, heaters, flooring, decor, and more. You name it, they've got it. Get in touch with Kyle and the people there at 7 South. You can learn all about it. It's Kyle at 7southtm.com, 662-321-1682. 7southtailgating.com. Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Chase mentioned my 10 weekend thoughts. They're up on the site. They're sponsored by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. Harry's been in Oxford more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than he does. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. HarryAlexander.com. Send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. He'll make sure that you get a deal in this real estate market that you can be happy with both now and down the road. Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan is the place to go. They've got all the new and previously owned Nissans. If they don't have what you're looking for, they'll order it. They'll get it to you within 48 hours. I've been there. I've done it that way. They'll take care of you as well. Make sure you tell them you heard about it on the podcast. You heard about it at rebelgrove.com. You get a little extra attention from Gene and Sandy and the wonderful people at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com.
So getting into a little bit of baseball talk, Ole Miss again takes 2 out of 3 from Arkansas. They've taken 2 out of 3 from all 3 SEC opponents to this point. Week coming up against some local rivals, if you will, Memphis tomorrow night from AutoZone Park, and then Mississippi State this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday from the not-yet-completed Duty Noble field at Polk DeMint Stadium.
What'd they do this weekend? They played Missouri, right?
They lost 2 out of 3 to LSU.
LSU.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
LSU Twitter account said they beat Ole Miss on a series. Accidentally confused the two. I get when ESPN does it occasionally. LSU doing it's a little more odd, but nonetheless.
Probably a kid.
Most likely a kid.
Yeah.
Just saying. But so Ole Miss takes a 1-game lead in the SEC West into week 4, and if you'd offered Mike Bianco that, he would have paid a lot of money considering Texas A&M and Arkansas are already in the rearview mirror. For the Rebels, they have a 1-game lead on LSU and Arkansas. They are 1 game behind the Florida Gators and the somewhat surprising Georgia Bulldogs at 7-2 in the SEC.
Who's Georgia played so far?
They have played Tennessee, Alabama, and Texas A&M, I believe, are the 3 they have played.
So they've played 2
not very good
struggle
teams.
Hey, good for them. No, it's not a criticism. I mean, you get your schedule. Do with it what you can.
I picked them to be better this year because they won the last 3 series of last year with a really young team, and it's kind of continued now. They don't have the star power that Ole Miss does. They're not talked about as much, but got a lot of really solid guys. Again, finally, Scott Strickland has broken into what should be a great program year in and year out, and they appear to be on their way to it. Nothing else, a postseason berth for the first time in a few years, and then Florida's probably the best team in the country, so that's not surprising at all. It's 7-2. They swept Vanderbilt over the weekend in pretty convincing fashion.
Mm.
Well, Vanderbilt's having that year where there's going to be weekends where they're really good, but then they're going to have weekends where they have prospects, not players, and it's going to be disjointed, not all together, and that's kind of what they ran into, and against a good team. So they got popped pretty good by the Gators over the weekend.
Well, there is such a thing as recruiting too well. You can recruit prospects that Major League Baseball is fawning over, and you have to understand that Major League Baseball looks at those kids totally differently than college baseball. The Red Sox look at a 17-year-old kid and go, hey, we have 6 years to develop him. They're not in any rush. They don't care what he does next year. Couldn't care less what numbers he puts up next year. College, they care. I mean, you get overwhelmed as a freshman if you're not ready.
Yeah, you got to put a roster together, not a roster of prospects. And look, more often than not, it works out for Vanderbilt, but this year, it's a little weird. Now, in saying that, I wouldn't want to play them the last week in the regular season. They're going to get better. They're going to figure some stuff out. If you told me they're an absolute pain in the butt for somebody as a 2 seed in the postseason, I would believe that. You don't want Vanderbilt in your regional by any stretch of the imagination. But
well, no, they'll have the deep pitching to last a long time.
Yeah. So, Ole Miss and State. State is 2-7 in the SEC through 3 weekends. They got swept and they've lost 2 out of 3 2 weeks in a row. So they are what they are. They're dealing with all sorts of off the field stuff. Their lineup's not very good. Pilkington's really good, but that's about it from a pitching standpoint. So Ole Miss, they clear a better team this weekend. I'd be curious what the crowds are. If people show up with the chance, maybe the State pulls one off. You know, I don't know. I'm interested in crowds this weekend in Starkville.
That rivalry's really weird right now. You would have a better pulse for it than I would. There's a lot of animosity. My guess is their crowds are down because their fans anticipate losses.
So you're not going to show up and watch a loss to Ole Miss.
That's where the rivalry is right now.
It's always kind of been a football thing.
Ole Miss didn't take a lot of football people to Starkville last year.
No, it's constant in football. Baseball is usually a little different.
It's why when people do the thing about the football stuff, I've noticed the state people don't want to come to Oxford, and the Ole Miss people don't want to go to state, and so they don't. It's not a fun rivalry. Like, Ole Miss LSU is a fun rivalry. LSU fans look forward to coming up and doing the Grove thing, and they set up their crawfish boils, and you make fun or whatever you want to, but they're fun. Yeah. And Ole Miss people go down to LSU. It's a fun place to go to a game. Baton Rouge is a fun town to spend Friday night, and you tailgate, and you go look at Mike the Tiger, and you go to a game at a historic venue, and the two colors, when the two teams play in their traditional colors, it just kind of looks right on the field and the whole deal. And it's fun. Everybody wants to win, and maybe there's a fight or two in the stands or whatnot because people have had too much to drink. But it's a different – I'm just – my observation, feel free to blast me. I think I'm right, though. And you're nodding your head sort of in approval.
No,
so
yeah, I agree.
You think I'm right so far.
Yeah.
It's a fun rivalry.
Yeah.
Auburn-Georgia is a fun rivalry. Oh, they get at each other and stuff, but it's kind of fun. Fun. Let's go to Athens, have a good time. They go to Auburn or whatever, and everybody kind of knows each other. And it might be 3 hours of animosity, but for the most part, it's not just raw hatred.
Ole Miss LSU is the most enjoyable game played for fans when both teams are good.
Yeah, it's fun. Ole Miss and State, I mean, I know where I think the blame goes, but Ole Miss and State right now is not a healthy rivalry, and it has escalated in the unhealthiness, in my opinion.
Well, here's a weird thing about Ole Miss State, specifically baseball, and I've covered a lot of them, tons of them. Ole Miss has won a lot in Starkville. I think they've won more in Starkville than they've won in Oxford. I think State gets them more in Oxford than they do Starkville. I think Mike Bianco is 36-36 all time against Mississippi State. I think it's dead even.
Okay.
Now, he started off really slow. He lost 2 out of 3 in 01, got swept in 2, might have lost 02 out of 3 in 03 too. So he was really, really bad off the start against State. Ole Miss has different rivalries. I talked somewhat about this with a media member the other day because Mike Bianco and I had a discussion about Arkansas series being always kind of tense or memorable or whatever over the course of his tenure. And Ole Miss has kind of three different classifications with rivals, if you will. You know, with LSU, it's fun. A lot like football. Now, Ole Miss has not won in Baton Rouge since 1982. They win a lot in Oxford, however. When LSU comes up here, it's usually good weekends, huge crowds, and pretty fun games. Mutual respect between the two programs for multitudes of reasons, and it's good. Ole Miss has rivalries that have come because of competition and winning and some on-the-field kerfuffles over the years with Arkansas and Vanderbilt.
Yeah,
those are the two schools where everything's a little more tense between them for a reason that has nothing to do with who grew up where or anything like that. It just kind
just
of
baseball.
Happens. Yeah, it just sort of happens.
Yeah, just baseball.
I mean, over the years, Vanderbilt and Ole Miss hate each other for whatever reason. They got in a fight last year on the field.
Vanderbilt does all that stuff, and they do it and in fairness to them, they do it intentionally to get under your skin.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Yeah, all the calisthenics and crap.
Yeah, he knows that it bothers people, and so he does it.
They're good.
I'm a Corbin fan. I like Corbin a little bit. It's funny. I like Bianco a lot. I like Corbin a lot, and they couldn't be more different. I think Mike Bianco's a really good baseball coach. I think Mike Bianco really runs a program well. I do. Call me a homer, call me a whatever, an apologist, whatever people want to do. Fine. I think the same thing about Tim Corbin. I think Tim Corbin figured out, okay, here's what Vanderbilt is. Here's what Vanderbilt could be. This is what works here. And that's what they've built. And they do the calisthenic. And they do all that stuff. There's absolutely zero doubt in my mind that they do that stuff to rub people the wrong way. Get in your head just a little bit. Well, a little bit can be the difference between winning a game 4-3 or losing 4-3.
It's kind of funny. You mentioned this because Mike Bianco's same coach, like who he's identical twin is Dan McDonald.
Yeah,
I mean, down to how they run pregame. It's eerie when they're on the field together and you watch mirrors of each other on the sides of the field.
Sure.
Vanderbilt and Louisville, though, play baseball the same way. It's always just a little more high speed than maybe it should be. They're going to get that extra push in somewhere. It's they purposely get a little tense with you.
Dan's smart.
Yeah. It's
Dan didn't. Dan, when people go, Dan copied Bianco. No, Dan emulated some of Bianco, yeah. But he's his own dude. He picked up his own things elsewhere, and they're not the exact same dude. They don't tick at the exact same rate.
Vanderbilt and Louisville both try to get you off your game by annoying you and by just out-energying you, if that's a word.
Yeah.
Having a little more energy in a way that's going to bug you.
Yeah.
Just always, they're the full-speed practice hero guys. That's Vanderbilt and Louisville.
And if you ever played sports, you know that guy, and you hate that guy.
Well, they're that every day, every play.
Yeah.
I'm going to slide hard. I'm going to tag you a little harder than I should. I'm going to be that dude today. And over the course of 27 innings in a weekend, you get tired of it, and somebody says something, and here we go.
I hated that stuff in football.
Yeah. So that's what they are. My point being in saying all that, there are weird, interesting rivalries for Ole Miss with Vanderbilt, Arkansas, and LSU for different reasons.
Yeah.
Really nobody else. I'm kind of going through it top of my head, A&M, whatever, you know, Auburn, whatever, Alabama sucked. It doesn't really matter. With State, it is an annoyance. It is not a rivalry. Both sides are annoyed by the other one, but there are not the emotions in that game that there are against those other teams. I think both sides, I mean, you know, like Mike Clement talked for Bianco on Saturday because Mike had lost his voice. He literally couldn't speak. And Clem goes, you know, we play those guys next week, always a big game. And Mike always does that. You know, we're playing checkers against State. You want to beat them, whatever. I think both schools are just glad for that series to be over every year.
Yeah.
To get back on the bus and go back and go, okay, that's done for 365.
It's not football.
We'll see you in Pearl, and we'll go through the motions and play nine innings in Pearl, and we'll move on.
Truth is, both sides probably would love for the Pearl thing to go away.
It's an extra time to lose a midweek.
There's a lot of, like, dirty little secrets about inside baseball, inside football, if you will. I mean, I promise you, like, if you offered Matt Luke right now, hey, this last week could go away, done. Matt Luke has one thought on now, what he'll say is a totally different thing, and this is not a criticism of Matt at all. Matt's going to say all the things, yeah, we're trying to get this done. What he's really thinking to himself is, okay, it's April. I got this far. Nobody got hurt. I got three practices left. I wish we could take the pads off. And just kind of go through just work on some things, work on some mental things, get some mental reps. Let's get out of here. Let's have a barbecue on Saturday and call it a day. Can't do that. Why? Because the first time that you get out physicaled in the fall, fans go, if they just had a lot more hitting, they'd have been tougher. So you can't win. So no, until like a Saban or someone says, here's what we're going to do with our spring. And becomes a pioneer, everyone's going to keep doing this thing. And with baseball, it's just it's you can't have a football mentality in baseball. You can't go into the Friday night game and start going, this is the Super Bowl. No, it's not, because you're gonna, as Ole Miss learned this past weekend, they lost on Friday night. If you treat that like it's the end all be all game of the century, well, you're screwed the next day. You lose twice on Friday. Nope, it's over. You lost. You play the next day. You win on Saturday, and then, I mean, on Friday, and then you get to Saturday, and by that point, it's your typical SEC game. But yeah, Ole Miss and Arkansas played all these close games in baseball, and there's always.
They typically play at the end of the year, too, which magnifies it.
So it magnifies it, and there's a little edge. Vanderbilt just does that thing that they do. And it. It's funny when I watch them play, like when I've covered some baseball, believe it or not, and when I watch them play. It irritates me, and yet at the same time, I'm like, God, that's genius.
I admire it,
and I'm irritated at the same time.
I have no reason for this. In games where I'm just sort of watching TV, I find myself sort of pulling for Vanderbilt or playing someone else, and I have no reason why.
I'm the same way. I kind of like the fact that there's this, we're gonna screw with you.
Oh, yeah, by the way, guys, it's really hard to win consistently. Louisville and Virginia are a combined 9-15 in the ACC after three weekends. Plenty of time to turn it around, but just heads up there.
No.
The Cardinals and Cavaliers are struggling a little.
You should fire them both.
O'Connor, bye.
Bye.
Dan, go to State.
We'll just pay
your buyout.
It's hard.
It's hard.
Winning consistently is very, very hard.
Other teams are trying to.
Yes. And so when you find people that win consistently, they should be appreciated for that consistency. Winning consistently is very hard.
You mentioned it a little bit. Ole Miss just won. They just found, it was weird games. It was not pretty. It wasn't clean, but
it's what good teams do. It's what good teams do. It's what great teams do. Great teams find ways, is my thought. Great teams find ways to win games. Again, Arkansas had scouted Ole Miss's starting pitchers, guys. I'm not talking down to people, but people get worked up about starting pitching. Why are they getting hit? Well, part of it is the other team at this point knows what's coming. This is the time in the season where, and you, this is something you could ask Mike, is this the time of the season where y'all do the deep dive self-scout? Hey, are we into habits that we don't even realize we're into? Do we have to shake up the way we do things? Pitch sequence. What you throw 2-1, 2-2, 1-2, are you predictable? And with computers and analytics, you can do a really deep scouting report as a coaching staff. And Arkansas did. They knew what MacArthur was going to throw, sequencing. Had pretty good clue of what's coming. They know what he has, what he doesn't have. You can give an in-depth scouting report, and Arkansas has some good hitters and guys who can execute a scouting report.
Yeah, probably the top SEC team from an offensive standpoint, they can really mash. I mean, Arkansas's good. They had one starter with an OPS under 800 on the weekend.
It's guys, smart guys, like you've talked about.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I don't want to go down this thing because I'll get accused of something that I'm not, damn it. But baseball guys are pretty smart kids usually. Arkansas's got a whole bunch of kids from neighboring states and stuff, so you got a whole bunch of kids with 25-plus ACTs. And
equivalency sports require you to have smart kids,
yes.
Period. I mean,
and so they have kids who can execute a scouting report. They have kids who can hear a scouting report on Wednesday and Thursday and take it with them into the batter's box.
Only 3 weeks in. No panic time for any team. I don't think Tim Corbin got back to Nashville today and said, let's cancel the season or anything. They're 5-4 in the SEC.
No,
I do wonder, though, two teams that were ranked in the top 10 in the preseason are 3-6 in the SEC.
A&M.
And Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Wonder which one of those does pull out of it. It feels like one of them has that bomb bad season that's kind of unexpected that happens occasionally.
Well, it's hard to – I actually watched a good bit of that A&M series. It's just hard for me to see that team bombing,
they
frankly.
Lost three straight series to open the year.
Yeah. It's just still, I mean
– they've lost to Auburn, Ole Miss, and Georgia.
But they've played three really good teams.
Well, it's get healthy time for A&M. Here's what's coming up for them real quick. They play LSU at home. They need to win that series. LSU's not great. And then they've got a 3-week stretch of Alabama, Tennessee, and Mississippi State.
You got to get well.
7-2 in 9 games is what you need for A&M at that point.
And they could do that.
Now, after that, they pay a visit to the Florida Gators and then play Arkansas and South Carolina to finish. But
I will say this about Ole Miss this weekend coming up, rivalry be damned. And I feel like I took that thing everywhere. You're the superior team.
Go win.
This is an opportunity to go
make some ground up.
To really change your
– yeah, I mean, because
right now today they'd be a national 8 seed.
Yeah, no doubt.
But you have a chance to kind of give yourself some breathing room. Because the bad weekend's going to it's gonna happen to every team in the league, and it's going to happen to Ole Miss, my opinion. Maybe Florida's the one team in the league that's immune to it, and they're probably not immune to it. You have a chance to kind of give yourself that breathing room. Where you lose a series down the road because you swept Mississippi State.
If jerseys State. Were faceless and it wasn't Mississippi State and it was South Carolina or whomever, or Tennessee or Alabama, you would go into that thinking, hey, we're going to get two and really need to go get three.
Well, they need to go get three. I mean, two's fine.
Yeah, two is not a failure.
No, not at all. Winning a series in the SEC is never a failure, but this is an opportunity, and there aren't many opportunities to get sweeps, if you're honest.
It's also time to win a Friday game.
Sure.
Quit backing and stuff.
Who's left on the schedule? Just take me through the
Ole Miss?
Yeah.
All right. They go to State and they go to Vanderbilt.
Probably not sweeping Vanderbilt there.
No.
Right.
That's a tough series.
I'm looking for opportunities to get sweeps.
They come back home and play Georgia Bulldogs.
Not going to get a sweep, probably.
Then they stay home and play the LSU Tigers.
Still probably not a sweep.
Going to be huge crowds, good weekend. But we'll
opportunity,
see.
But you know, LSU's a pretty good baseball program, and they usually get better as the season goes on.
They go to South Carolina.
Not sweeping them there.
They come back home and play the Auburn Tigers.
I mean, Mize pitches one
if
of those games.
If you beat Mize, then suddenly there's some opportunities.
I mean, I'm not going to Vegas and betting on a sweep there.
And then they close the regular season at Alabama.
There's a chance to sweep there.
Yeah.
You have a couple of chances to sweep, and frankly, this is one of them. And the only reason nobody would talk about it being a chance to get a sweep is because of the rivalry.
And states on the front of the jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't know that – I don't know that that's a major factor.
Kentucky, interesting deal here. They play South Carolina at home this weekend. If they didn't win it by chance, and they could lose it, sure.
Sure.
They go to Georgia and then play Florida the next 2 weeks after that. They could run into a hole they can't climb out of.
Yeah.
So Wildcats are the one that I would put on alert here.
I would too. It's just difficult for me to imagine that A&M team
with that starting pitching and that lineup.
Yeah, they'll figure it out.
That's what Ole Miss has done. They have found flaws and exploited them. Arkansas's bullpen wasn't very good. Arkansas was terrible defensively. Put the ball in play. Stress them. Run some. Do some different things. I wrote today about the official replay stuff. They stopped the game 1,000 times on Friday.
Yeah, they've not worked the kinks out.
No. They got them all right, I think. But they stopped it 4 times for 5 different reviews. There were 2 reviews on one play. Both coaches challenged on one play. Yeah. You don't see that very often.
No, the kinks aren't worked out. As opposed to Major League Baseball, where they've sped it up this year.
Put a control center in Birmingham for league games. You have the money.
I've been really impressed with Major League Baseball this year. The reviews are not lasting longer than a minute. They're quick.
I would say the games are being stopped in college baseball 4 to 6 to 7 minutes as a guess.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's just insane.
I don't feel like they're doing the irrefutable evidence thing. They just go into there and make a decision based off what they see, regardless of what the call was on the field. I think they guess under the hood sometimes.
Well, the problem is you have an umpire that's guessing under the – he's a human being.
Yeah.
He's wanting himself – he's wanting his call on the field to be right.
Well, because what happened Friday was Van Horn ran out of challenges because the umpires blatantly missed the call. Ron Olenek left second base a second early. Umpires said safe, but Van Horn had to use his last challenge on it. So then in the 8th inning, Van Horn's out of challenges, and he wants to challenge something at second base. Well, he can't. But the third base coach keeps griping at the third base umpire about it over and over and over and over again till finally the umpires did a umpire review of the play. And it's like, well, you weren't going to review it until dude was griping. So isn't that technically a challenge, even though they're out of challenges?
And so you understand why Van Horn's mad, because I had to use a damn challenge on something that everybody in the damn stadium saw.
Yeah.
He had a point.
Yeah. So the kinks aren't out.
The kinks are not out.
You mentioned Viagra earlier. Get the better alternative, Sildenafil at Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com. You can break that thing into quarters or a half or take the entire pill if the situation so arises for that. 662-252-2321, TysonDrugs.com. Fill out the form online. Give them a call. Give me your doctor's name. Sorry, they are the pharmacy. And they will take care of you and deliver it wherever you are. Also, now they offer they own G&M Pharmacy in Oxford. Great local service. They deliver local as well there on South Lamar.
This podcast is also brought to you by Romero Miller State Farm. Everyone knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance. But did you know State Farm has a bank that allows them to do auto financing? State Farm also has had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. They have fantastic business insurance policies, rental property policies. Really, everything you could possibly want for insurance, Romero Miller State Farm can take care of you. All you have to do is live in Mississippi or Tennessee. Either place, you owe it to yourself. Go to Google, read Romero Miller State Farm reviews, and then call Romero at Romero Miller State Farm, 662-893-1212. Podcast is also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high-ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application with rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580. They will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings. So call him today. The podcast also brought to you by Gambrell and Associates. Gambrell and Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Superlawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state, so you know you're getting a good one when you get Robert Gambrell. Robert Gambrell and Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando at 662-342-7700 or in Oxford at 662-281-8800.
Podcast also brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773 or MasterCutsLawn.com. Get some pressure washing done to your house for the temperature heats up for good. You sign an annual contract with the driveway and sidewalks for free, or if you got over 2,000 square feet of washing needed, $50 off with MasterCuts. Again, 662-607-7773. The top six teams in the D1Baseball.com poll, which is the one I typically use, even though I usually don't include rankings in much of anything anyway. Florida State, number six. Arkansas stays at number five. Does not fall over the week.
Why should they?
Yeah.
They played a top five team on the road, won a game, and lost 2 1-run games.
Yeah, right.
What did they do to fall?
Nothing.
Good.
Won their midweek game.
Good for D1Baseball. I mean, they didn't have a bad week. Arkansas, I promise you, got back on the bus to Fayetteville. They might have been a shade disappointed. Van Horn's smart. He's a good coach. Runs a hell of a good program. He knew right there, hey, we're fine. That didn't hurt us at all.
Yeah. It'd be all right.
No, it didn't hurt them any. It didn't hurt their RPI.
If we win, too, we're going to celebrate like a son of a gun, and as long as we don't get swept, it's all right.
Yeah, they're still in position to host a regional.
Yeah, they're only one game back. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. They're in great shape.
Oregon State fell from number one to number four after losing to Utah 2 out of 3 over the weekend. I don't know if Oregon State's message boards are active on baseball or not, but I would love to see, or actually, I would not love to see. I would dread the Ole Miss board. Oregon State lost 2 out of 3 to a Utah team that was 4-19 coming in and started the year 0-13.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Not a good weekend in Corvallis for the Beavers.
Nothing against RebelGrove.com subscribers. There would be an absolute meltdown.
You think so?
Oh, yes.
Maybe after the first loss. Forget the second one. Cancel the program.
Yes.
Ole Miss now number 3 again, 25-4, 3-1 3-1 on the week, 6-3 in the SEC.
They're in great shape.
All four of those games against top 15 teams. They beat Southern Miss in the midweek. And then Stanford number 2, they are 20-3. They had a 3-1 week. They took out a 3 from Oregon. And then the Florida Gators, 25-5 overall, 4-0 on the week. They were previously number 2. They moved to number 1 after sweeping the Vanderbilt Commodores. So
they're really talented. Lots of prospects.
Yeah. Ole Miss team. Number 3 SEC teams, 1-3-5 going into the week. Memphis is not good. They are 9-19 on the season. They have an RPI of 213. Ole Miss could really use Mother Nature to win Tuesday. There's 80% chance of rain Tuesday night.
Yep.
They could use Mother Nature.
Yeah.
And then have a lot of schedule conflicts when they talk about rescheduling that puppy.
Oh, yeah. We just can't.
We're good.
We can't do it. No way.
Can't find a date.
No, we're busy.
AutoZone's busy. We're not playing at your park.
Got to do our hair that day.
Yeah.
Have you read Peter King this week?
No.
Are we this good transition? Okay.
Go ahead.
I think this is interesting. Peter King, esteemed NFL writer for SI.com. The draft is about a month away.
Yeah.
All the quarterbacks at the top of the draft. Peter King talks to Jim Mora Jr., the UCLA coach. He's not. Former UCLA coach.
Yeah, former Atlanta Falcons coach.
And he's talking about drafts, and they ask him about Sam Darnold, and he talks about the context of fit. He says he thinks Sam Darnold has, quote, the underdog mentality that I think will fit so well in Cleveland, a franchise that's really been down. Asked about Josh Rosen, who he coached at UCLA, gives a really interesting quote. Because NFL teams are cookie cutters. NFL teams are really scared of getting out of the box. I mean, without exception. Quote, Josh, I think, without a doubt, is the number one quarterback in the draft. He's a franchise changer. He's got the ability to have an immediate impact. His arm talent, intelligence, and his ability to see the game and diagnose the game is rare. He'd come to the sidelines after a play, and it was uncanny. He could right away say exactly why he made every decision. Here's the interesting part of the quote.
Okay.
He needs to be challenged intellectually so he doesn't get bored. He's a millennial. He wants to know why. Millennials, once they know why, they're good. Josh has a lot of interest in life. If you can hold his concentration level and focus only on football for a few years, he will set the world on fire. He has so much ability, and he's a really good kid. End quote. Peter King opines that he says, it sounds like Mora thinks Rosen would be well served to be pushed by quarterback mentors like Shermer in New York or Jeremy Bates with the Jets and learn for a year or so from Eli Manning or Josh McCown. Thought that's an interesting quote. NFL teams are going to be absolutely terrified of a quarterback who has interest outside of football. They are.
I like Rosen.
I love Rosen.
He would be my pick for whatever that's worth.
Well, he's better than Darnold. He's better than – sorry, Jeffrey. He's physically better than Baker. Baker Mayfield's interesting. Baker Mayfield walks into a building and changes the air in the room changes.
A lot of casual fans undervalue Josh Rosen because his team sucked at UCLA.
Yeah.
But he was engaging. He stayed with them. He never called out his teammates.
Well, he's going to be surrounded by talented people at the NFL level.
Yeah.
But a rookie quarterback who walks in and has outside interest is going to be viewed like a stranger in an NFL locker room. What are you? Actually, I think he benefits greatly with the Giants if he went to them, because I do agree here with King. I think Eli Manning's an intelligent guy who's done it for a good while now. Eli's been in the league, 14 years? Mm-hmm. Won a couple of Super Bowls, has been to some playoffs, has had his own adversity, has had his bad seasons where he got dealt with the New York media, got called out, stuff like that. I think Rosen is an intelligent enough guy to know that, hey, I have a limited amount of time here with this NFL veteran, and I'm going to sponge. As opposed to throwing him into Cleveland and going, here, it's your job. Go for it. Rosen strikes me as more of the type that would benefit from that. But that's not the current NFL. Now when you draft a young quarterback with one of the first five picks of the draft, it's his job. Here, son. This is one of the few drafts that I'm actually really interested in.
Because of all the quarterbacks.
All the quarterbacks and how you could easily get this thing wrong.
And then Saquon Barkley is just sitting there.
Yeah, and it's become, you know, you don't take a running back, yet you look at the league, look at your
team. The Rams are not upset they took Todd Gurley right now.
Well, no, and the New Orleans Saints changed their franchise with a second-round pick last year.
Yeah.
I mean, they did. The Saints do not have that season without him.
Yeah. The Twins are mad that somebody bunted against them while they were shifting. Is that a real story in 2018?
Speaking of millennials,
I'm reading Dane Perry here just on Twitter. I mean, that's it. I have no context.
I don't know exactly what happened. I saw
some
something
Twins
about it.
Being upset about the Cisco bunt against the shift is beautifully stupid.
Yes. Well, if you shift and leave the third baseline wide open and they lay a bunt down the third baseline, it's their way of saying, okay,
come out
if
of your
you're
going to
give me that, I'm going to take it.
Okay.
I wish Anthony Rizzo would do it more often. He does it. I wish he would just lay bunts down the third baseline. Just do it over and over and over until teams go, well, this isn't effective. The one thing in Major League Baseball that was really interesting over the weekend was the Braves-Phillies series. Did you see this? Mm-hmm. The umpire did the right thing. The umpire was put We always love to make fun of umpires, criticize umpires. This umpire was put in a really tough spot, and he handled it right. And then here's a novel concept.
Give some context.
He spoke to the media.
Give some context okay. for people.
Atlanta and Philly were playing, and Philadelphia, Gabe Kapler, the rookie manager, came out and signaled for the left-hander. Big deal, you say. Well, the left-hander had not yet gotten up to warm up. The left-hander was sitting out in the bullpen with his warm-up jacket on. He had not thrown a pitch. So Freddie Gonzalez's argument, and I can't remember why exactly this was the argument. Freddie Gonzalez's argument was that he shouldn't.
Brian Snicker.
Yeah, Brian. Yeah, Freddie Gonzalez with the Marlins. Brian Snicker's argument was he shouldn't be given extra warm-up pitches. And Jerry Lane did the right thing because he didn't want the kid to get hurt and let him get warm. They deducted two warm-up pitches.
Was someone in the bullpen at all?
I don't think so.
Okay, so there wasn't like a right-hander up or anything?
Okay. It was a screw-up.
Because in that situation, you just bring the guy in that's ready and go, hey, bud, sorry, for a batter at least, you're throwing the guy that's up.
Jerry Lane gave an interview with the media afterwards and said, the Phillies should be reprimanded here. The Phillies, someone should answer to Major League Baseball for this. But I owed it to the kid to let the kid get warm, to let him warm up. I owed it. His health was more important. Snitaker got, I think, ejected. Probably came out and said, you're going to have to eject me. Probably. Probably said, I've got to go back into this dugout here. And you're going to have to throw me out of the game. Or I'm going to do whatever it takes to get thrown out of the game. So let's just throw me out of the game. It shows you a couple things. One, the umpires are people. And two, when you hire a rookie manager who's never done it before.
The same weekend, he pulls Nola out after 68 pitches, and then they lose the opener.
Well, he's trying to reinvent the game. And sometimes when you're that guy that you're trying to be the smartest guy in the room,
you end up being the dumbest.
And Kapler's a smart guy, and everyone likes him. And I know people who know him who say he's a great dude. But, man, you managing a bullpen is more than just, hey, when do I go get a guy? It's when do I get a guy up?
Yeah.
Because you get a guy up and get him warm.
He's up now.
You get him up and get him warm again. Well, you basically used him. Joe Maddon had the Cubs had a 17-inning game on Friday. And they got Brandon Morrow up several times. He ended up coming in. He threw two pitches. The Marlins hit the second one for a game winner to win the game. And Morrow was unavailable the next couple of days because it turns out he got up three or four times. Can't managing and Joe Maddon's a pretty good manager. He's done this for a while. He's won a lot of games. Managing a bullpen is difficult. I don't believe, and the Yankees may prove me wrong, I don't believe a rookie manager who's never managed at least a little bit in the minor leagues is prepared for this.
Mickey Galloway had a good first weekend, at least, as they
he did. He's on his way to a great first weekend and let one get away.
So those ones add up though.
I liked the Mets a whole lot more on Thursday and Friday than I did yesterday.
Okay. All right. We again, Ole Miss, Memphis, when's football availability this week? What's going on?
Tuesday, Thursday, and then the game is
Saturday.
I use the word game loosely. I suspect it's going to be a very controlled scrimmage.
I anticipate Ole Miss hiring Ole Miss basketball coach this week. I think it's my feeling.
Yeah,
we'll
I would guess you're right. I'm stepping out of the prediction business there. I don't know. There's some not weird stuff. There's just a lot of stuff flying around about that job, and I'm not. People ask me, do I really believe the Kim Mulkey thing? Do I believe that she'll take the job? I really don't. Do I believe that she's unhappy at Baylor for professional and personal reasons? I do. Do I believe
2.1?
Do I believe that she probably has representation who's reaching out to multiple programs to kick some tires? Yes. I do. I do believe those things.
Last thing. If you're Vic Schaefer or a Mississippi State official or representative or something. I get that maybe that's what the clock said. Wouldn't you have wanted them just to knock off that last 1/10 and call the game last night?
See, I haven't seen it.
Oh, you didn't see this?
No.
Okay. So
I watched Thunder Pelicans last night.
Okay. Well, I turned on the end because I was curious. And State's up 5 with 1:40 to go.
Okay.
A lot of weird stuff happens anyway. Long story short, the Notre Dame girl with State has a foul to give. Tie game, 58-58, I think. Maybe 60-60, whatever. 58-58.
Okay.
And the Notre Dame girl gets the ball, takes two dribbles, and just throws up a prayer from the corner. State doesn't foul her, lets her get the shot off. It goes in.
Okay.
Crazy pandemonium. Everybody thinks the clock's out because as soon as the ball goes in, the red thing goes off and everybody freaks out. All right. State's players, for the most part, leave the court immediately. Notre Dame's got stuff everywhere. They're running around, all this stuff. The officials go to check it. Shot's good. Put 0.1 second back on the clock.
Where you can't even catch and shoot.
It's a punch. I mean, you literally have no ability to catch and shoot. I mean, per rule, you can't catch and shoot with 0.1 on the clock. So they had to clear the court, get all the State players back out of the locker room to come out and throw the ball in with 0.1 second on the clock.
I mean, it sucks. I understand why the officials did what they did. The officials' job is to
call the game.
Referee the game. I'm sure the officials...
But when it's 0.1, you probably could allow that to look like 0.0.
You probably could, but if you're the official, it's
the
national championship, you probably say, hey... I mean, I'm sure the official thought to himself or
herself...
Please
be zeros.
Oh, God, there's 1/10 of a second.
Yeah, but when the ball's down, the ball's down.
The ball's down is 1/10 of a second.
Yeah.
This sucks what I'm about to do, but I'm going to do my job.
Yeah.
Especially at this point.
Just a haunting final couple minutes for Mississippi State. They're All-American McCowan, which is the reason they got there. She misses a little bunny with less than 1 minute left that would have put them up 2 in the final seconds. Schaefer doesn't foul. There probably was multiple fouls on one of State's players at midcourt that wasn't called, and then immediately it was a call on State against Notre Dame. Like, it was just... Strange final minute there as they had the better team. State was better than Notre Dame, but Notre Dame national champions in women's basketball. So,
any thoughts on tonight, Villanova and Michigan?
I'm pulling for Villanova. Don't really have a reason why, but just kind of am.
Offensively, they are really...
I like Beeline for some reason, but I'm not a big Michigan person, so I'm pulling for Villanova.
Beeline, I've decided, might be the most underrated coach in college sports, period. Teams are always really good.
Is this his second finals appearance?
It seems like it is.
Yeah.
They play remarkably good team defense. Now look, they're not the little engine that could. So before people go, why can't we do that? Well, they're recruiting at a higher level than you're recruiting. But they play really tenacious team defense, and they don't let up. The problem with Villanova is they have so many guys who can make shots.
And they're going to dictate it. If Villanova hits their shots, you're not beating them.
Jim Boeheim said that this morning on, I believe it was ESPN Radio, I heard this morning. He said, bottom line, if Nova makes their shots, this is over. If Nova doesn't, it's a close game. Michigan's got to shoot well. Michigan is not a great offensive team. They'll have to have a great offensive game.
Somehow they're in a dome and Villanova's actually hitting shots. It's crazy.
They're good, man. Their guard play is something else.
Well, I mean, it's kind of what Jay Wright said after the game. He was asked about something, and he goes, hey, yeah, it's just one of those nights. We hit everything. There wasn't anything Kansas could do. Okay.
Well, when you have four people making shots, that's really hard to defend.
They were up 15 at the half and coasted on in.
They jumped on Kansas. Just got them right out of the gate.
Yeah.
And it was just...
And if that happens tonight, they're going to win the national title.
Yeah, and at that point, it's 2 and 4 years? 2 and 3 years? 2 and 4 years? 2 and 3 years?
3. Because they had the big trigger against North Carolina.
Where the kid made the bucket shot, at the buzzer.
Everybody gave Jay Wright grief about saying bam or good or whatever when the ball was in the air, but he said he always does that. It's like a little optimism thing for him. If the ball's in the air, he celebrates it while it's in the air.
The stuff people get worked up over. God almighty. Hey, Rebel Nation 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories, recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often, so be sure to visit yearofthefan.com. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB is locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority that makes profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person. There's no 10 buttons. There's no 5-minute wait. What there is the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
So we will be back tomorrow with another podcast, some stuff at rebelgrove.com. And then again, Ole Miss and Memphis and football, maybe a new women's basketball coach. We'll see as the week comes on. So appreciate you. Talk to you tomorrow.